Right. Good morning, honorable members. May we start with a short prayer? Amen. According to our, I declare this, you are all welcome. I declare this meeting officially open. We must try to finish our work before the 2 o'clock sitting. I think it's the budget votes debate, ne? So at least if we can finish on time so that you are able to join whatever budget vote you want to go and join according to the program of Parliament. We have included in our today's agenda the CTE vacancies. I have asked Nelisa to send you the letter that came from the deputy speaker, who was the acting speaker then, so that we can be able to discuss on the approach that we are going to use as the portfolio committee. But for now, maybe let's get
a recording in progress.
Nelisa.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members and my colleagues. I've received actually one apology now because Honorable Mareko has joined in, but she will leave the meeting earlier due to a class that she's going to attend. The second one is from Honorable Sharif, who is doing the constituency work, Chair. She won't be able to attend today's meeting. Thank you, Chair.
I'm not sure, when you say Honorable Murekwa will leave the meeting early. Honorable Murekwa can't leave the meeting early. We need to adopt the budget report, because it means if members of the ANC, they are not part of the meeting, that means we are not going to debate on Thursday. So I hope the whip of the ANC has taken care of that, that this meeting is not a by the way meeting. It's a very important meeting which we need to pass budget. So members of the ANC must be in the meeting until we finish.
Yes, I agree.
Noted, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Pony. Nelisa, can you put the agenda on the screen?
We'll do, Chair. Thanks.
We'll try and be fast, Honorable Boni, so that we accommodate you also.
Okay, Chair.
All right.
This is the agenda, Chair.
Okay. We are going to start with the agenda as is. Initially, I wanted us to start with the discussion on the filling of vacancies in the Commission for Gender Equality. But then, because Honorable Boni has that has a class. I will want us to start with the consideration of the adoption and of the report on the APP of the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, CGE and NYDA for 2022-2023 budget vote 20. You must remember, honorable members, that today we must finish, we must adopt this report because Thursday we will be debating this report in the House. So yesterday when I was going through the report, I saw that there was a discrepancy, which I have called the content advisor to correct it, and she did correct it, and she sent again a new version of the report, whereby program four there was nothing written in that report, and it was corrected last night. And I asked Nelisa to resend the report to all honorable members. So I take it that you have read the report. I'm sure some of you, when you were going through that report, you saw it or you didn't see it. But fortunately, I was reading the report. So, Nelisa, I hope you have sent the corrected version of the report on page 3 on program 4. So, it's now corrected. It's now corrected. So the report, according to how I read it last night, I think they've covered everything that we discussed in our meeting. So I will allow Kashifa to take us through the report.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members. I will share my screen now.
Maybe you can jump the introduction, or you can read it so that or we can start where it says the mandate, because remember they changed the initial mandate of this department was different from what they are talking about now. So if you maybe you can start there. Over to you, Kashifa.
Sure, Chairperson, no problem. Chairperson, just and good morning, and thank you, Chairperson and members. I'd like to first thank our support team, the Secretariat, Crystal and Tasneem, because indeed this report would not have been done without the analysis, and further on to that, the discussions by members and your input. Chairperson, just to highlight, in the report that you had received last night, you'd have noticed in the introduction, there was a section in yellow that was highlighted in terms of the CGE's amended 5-year strategic plan of the Commission on Gender Equality for 2019-24 and the annual performance plan of the Commission on Gender Equality for 2022-23 was tabled as per the ATC number 71 on 16 May. Now, this ATC came out at about 11 o'clock last night. What Neliswa and I had discovered, usually we check when all the tablings happen. So in members would see a chairperson, for the department, it was in March, for the NYDA as well as in March. When we checked for the CGE, there actually wasn't a tabling. So between myself and Neliswa, we checked with Llewellyn Clarkson, as well as Andrew, who sends out our order papers and ATCs, and they definitely didn't get it. So Nelisa checked up with the chairperson and the CEO only to discover that actually it wasn't emailed to the correct email. So that was done on Friday, and that's why it was tabled last night, and that is why we have the ATC number 71 on 16 of May. So just to indicate to members why that was only included last night. I'll move straight down, as Chairperson's requested, to the mandate and strategic objectives of the department. The Department of Women, Youth and Persons Disabilities was gazetted on 26 June 2019.
Well, is your video on?
No, Chairperson.
I don't know why you're struggling.
Am I not audible?
You keep cutting.
I think it's my network, Chair. I'll try again.
It's clear from my side, Chair. So I can hear.
It's also clear from our side. Maybe it's your network that is having a problem, but it's been clear on our side.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So going back to the mandate of the department. Yeah. The department once again reconfigured and was charged with taking the lead on socioeconomic transformation and implementation of the empowerment and participation of women, youth and persons with disabilities through mainstreaming, advocacy, monitoring and evaluation. Subsequently, the mandate was changed to regulate the socioeconomic transformation and implementation of the empowerment and participation of women, youth and persons with disabilities. So as chairpersons noted and members, this is change to the mandate of the department. As per chairperson's request, I'll move straight then to the key issues, which is around the observations and recommendations on page 27. Having met the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, the NYDA and the CGE to scrutinize the respective amended strategic plans and annual performance plan, including the budget for 2022-23, the committee made the following observations. And the observations, again, as usual, have been subdivided between the department, the NYDA and the CGE. So in terms of the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, in terms of general matters, with regards to the mandate and role of regulator, the committee was not convinced that all of the proposed targets related to the department's mandate as a regulator. These sentiments were concurred by the Auditor General of South Africa on its assessment of the department's APP for 2022-2023. The committee noted that the Auditor General of South Africa indicated that the targets of the department are not well structured, not well verified, not well defined, and do not reflect the mandate of the department, and questioned how then the committee will hold the department to account on targets planned. The committee also requested clarity on the matter. The committee asked how the regulatory mandate had been translated into the current APP and what regulations that the department prioritized. The committee questioned how the department holds other government departments to account with slow or non-delivery in the absence of finalized frameworks and an updated policy. I'm just going to put in the word of. The committee queried what directives and regulations have been prioritized for 2022-2023 in relation to women, youth and persons with disabilities. The committee questioned what the department's main monitoring and evaluation mechanisms were that it will be implementing in 2022-23, and this and how this would be conducted, as this was not made explicit in the APP. The committee questioned whether the department has the requisite capacity to undertake monitoring and evaluation, and if not, what are the contingency measures. The committee was concerned that targets planned by the department are not smart, and therefore oversight is impaired.
looking then at the organizational redesign, structural changes, and merger implications. The committee noted with concern the merger of the programs focusing on the rights of persons with disabilities and youth development, with no justification provided. Furthermore, the committee was concerned that the merger was undertaken without the consent from National Treasury and the Department of Public Services and Administration. This, as the department continues to undertake organizational reform in a bid to request for more resources. The committee was concerned about the changes in the organizational structure, the outer approval from the National Treasury, and inquired whether the department received approval from the National Treasury to merge Program 4 and 5. Hence, the committee also inquired when the department received the approval from National Treasury and what informed the department's decision to bring about the changes to certain programs and why it is important to merge the programs. The committee was unclear about the staff component of the merged programs and how this impacted operations, if at all. To this end, the committee requested clarity on how the support staff in the Program 4 operate independently within the newly merged program, as this was not clearly articulated in the current APP. This bullet point really refers to, now that disability and youth are coming together, how will they actually just operate practically? The committee questioned whether the decision to merge Program 4 and 5 was not done prematurely, since the DPSA had not agreed to the new structure. The committee questioned why National Treasury has not allowed the department to have four programs while they have more than four programs. In terms of name changes, the committee requested clarity on the sub-program names that have been changed in the current APP, but still refers to old sub-program, for example, on page 61. Reference is still made to the C program, which is the social transformation and economic empowerment, while the revised programs were introduced on page 25 of the annual performance plan. The committee requested clarity on the matter. So that just shows the inconsistency within the APP. In terms of redesign of organizational structure, the committee noted that the department has been redesigning the organizational structure since 2019. As such, the committee questioned what the impact of the delays of redesigning of the organizational structure vis-a-vis the implementation of the mandate of the department. To this end, the committee questioned whether the department is able to implement its mandate given the delays. The committee also questioned the transfer of Program 4 from the Department of Social Development and when it was completed and how the program operated. The committee also questioned what were the strengths and weaknesses the Persons of Disability program in terms of its functionality when it was moved from the Department of Social Development. In terms of poor visibility, the committee was concerned that the understanding of the department's mandate was poor within the government and society at large. And I think this was apparent through the committee's engagement with various departments during our oversight visit. In Program 1, in terms of administration or human resources, the committee requested more clarity on the unfunded post of the Deputy Director for Gender and the Rights of Persons with Disabilities program. The committee also questioned why DDG Reddy is still acting DDG, and asked about when the post would be filled. The committee also wanted to know when the post of the Labour Relations Officer would be filled. The committee noted with concern that the majority of staff were employed within the administration program as opposed to the core program, and despite this, there were still key critical vacancies in Program 1. In terms of use of consultants, the committee was also concerned about the use of consultants to do work on behalf of the department. Moving on, in terms of issues of consultancy, the committee was concerned about the appointment of consultants with the National Council on Gender-Based Violence when there's a secretariat employed to perform duties for the establishment of a council. The committee also queried why the GBF secretariat was categorized as consultants when they are employed by the department. The committee questioned why there is no skills transfer between the consultants and the support staff of the department to avoid future use of consultants. The committee questioned whether there were any skills transferred by consultants to staff since 2018. And that's how far back the department has been using consultants. The committee was concerned that $2.3 million is budgeted for use of consultants to do the work of the department, that is in terms of report writing, collecting data, etc., and questioned what the current staff was doing at the department. The committee noted that the department continued budgeting for consultants and raised this as a concern, given that it has been a matter that the department did not support. The committee had on numerous occasions outlined to the department why it should desist from using consultants given its limited budget and provided recommendations on how to address the matter. To this end, the committee also inquired as to when the department would stop procuring the use of consultants given the fiscal constraints. Moreover, the committee noted that the department has 19 staff who are paid more than $1.2 million per staff in terms of the salary level 13 to 16, and thus questioned why the department was allocated for consultants to implement programs of the department. In terms of policy and law reform, the committee notes that under Program 1, the department stated that it has developed three pieces of legislation, namely the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Bill, the National Youth Development Agency Amendment Bill, and the Promotion of Rights, Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill that will be introduced in Parliament. However, there are no targets related to the above in the current APP. In terms of Program 2, members who have noted this is a name change, mainstreaming of women's rights and advocacy. In terms of sanitary dignity, the committee noted that the mere submission of court reports and one progress report on the implementation of sanitary dignity implementation framework by provinces means nothing when the monitoring and evaluation is brought into question, having received reports from two provinces during the committee's most recent oversight visit to Northwest and Gauteng province. Based on the information received from these provinces, it would appear that the sanitary dignity program is not rolled out as per the envisaged framework developed by the department. The committee notes that the presentation received almost 2 years ago, it can be deduced that the status quo remained and there is no uniformity in the rollout of the STP program. And that again comes from the committee's observations and findings from the recent oversight visit. In terms of gender-based violence and femicide, for the National Council on GBVF, the committee asked what the status of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence is, what the allocation of $5 million includes, and how much was budgeted to establish the National Council on GBVF. In terms of the National Strategic Plan on GBVF, the committee notes that in terms of the target on monitoring the implementation of the NSP at a national, provincial, and municipal level, the department indicates that it will be done through the analysis of strategic plans. The strategic plan on page 42 states that in monitoring priorities related to women, youth, and persons with disabilities, a choice was made to focus on national departments as provincial departments are primarily coordinated by officers of the Premier. The committee questions the department whether the department has the capacity to do this, especially given the fact that thus far it has managed to review 22 departments and that it's halfway through the 2020-2025 strategic plan. In terms of the rapid response teams, the committee was concerned that there was no link between the APP with regards to the rapid response team and what the department is actually doing, thus requested more information on the issue. The committee was concerned that the department was not doing enough in terms of prevention aspect of GBV. In terms of economic empowerment for interventions to support economic empowerment, the committee noted that the department listed four interventions to support economic empowerment and participation for women, youth and persons with disabilities, which is related to agriculture, the Sanitary Dignity Program Economic Value Chain, the Green Economy, and Women in Trade. While this is commendable, the focus for each area varies from expanding access and ownership to job creation, accessing funds to government spend. So for each of these areas, they're doing different things. All of these variables measure completely different outcomes, which is oversimplified in a composite indicator list by the department. This brings into question what exactly the department will be doing given its capacity and resource constraints, but more importantly, how this relates to its role as regulator. Given that the department defines forms of interventions as hosting a symposium, conferences, radio campaign shows, workshop and consultations with stakeholders for the economic empowerment and participation of women, youth and persons with disabilities in the various economic value chains. What is more apparent is a lack of collaboration with the NYDA, a key stakeholder within the department, as this does not find expression in the current APP. In terms of Program 3, which again is a name change, monitoring, evaluation, research and coordination. For M&E, the committee query, what the department was doing in monitoring and evaluation, research and coordination. In terms of stakeholder coordination and outreach, the committee noted with concern that nearly 3 years since the department was established, the department lacked a stakeholder database, hence this affected the performance of the stakeholder coordination and outreach program. Whilst the development of a stakeholder directory or database is warranted, it's concerning that the department since its inception does not have one in place which is being updated on an ongoing basis. This brings into question how stakeholder consultation coordination is being managed by the department. So in other words, if the department's been doing outreach since inception, how is it that it doesn't have database? And does it then and coordinate its stakeholders? So Program 4, as members have noted, this is where the merger happens as well as a name change, mainstreaming youth and persons with disabilities rights and advocacy. So in terms of the sub-program focusing on persons with disabilities, the absence role of regulator, the committee was concerned that the regulatory role of the department does not emerge clearly in the sub-program focused on disability. In terms of outcomes of reports, the committee noted that departments intend to analyze APPs of government departments and develop a status report on national and international obligations. However, outcomes of these reports, the findings and the recommendation, what is done about it is more important. This is particularly important for government departments and entities that are not non-compliant. In terms of the Disability Rights Bill, the committee noted there was no mention of the bill in the current APP as a separate target and questioned how the departments would then ensure the development of the bill. More importantly, the committee was concerned that in the absence of a target, it impedes the committee's ability to conduct oversight of the department in this regard. Moving on to the next sub-program, which focuses on youth, the committee was concerned that the department will only produce 4 youth reports for the financial year 2022-23 and requested the department to provide targets that are workable with regards to youth. The committee was concerned that Program 1 received more budget with less staff, while Program 4 received a smaller operational budget and fewer staff members. The committee was concerned that the department was going to conduct oversight over NYDA and questioned how does this not usurp the powers of the portfolio committee. The committee was also concerned about how the department assists the NYDA to achieve its objectives. The committee was also concerned about how the department would ensure that other government departments mainstreams issues related to youth and issues related to persons with disabilities. The committee noted that the department had stopped the role of policy making and research and development from the NYDA and requested the clarity on the matter. In terms of the national youth policy, the committee also inquired as to whether the national youth policy implementation monitoring reports were any different to that of the NYDA's quarterly reports submitted to the committee. In terms of the amendment bill, the committee noted the bill appeared in a recent ATC and would welcome the initiative and welcomed the initiative by the department. In terms of the South African Youth Development Bill, the committee was initially concerned that the proposed bill would be a duplication of the NYDA Act. Having received further clarity from the department's youth branch, the committee was able to gain more insight. Notwithstanding that, a full briefing on the purpose of the bill and its contents will be prioritized in the committee's program for the current financial year. In terms of the relationship with the NYDA, The committee was concerned about the lack of a working relationship between the NYDA and the department, especially program, it's not program 5 no longer, now program 4, given the merger and the name change. Moving now on to the observations in terms of the National Youth Development Agency, in terms of general matters. Standardized reporting, the committee was commended for improving its reporting and aligning of programs and budgetary allocations. In terms of inclusion of youth with disabilities, the committee welcomed the inclusion of a target for youth with disabilities in the APP of the NYDA. The committee commended the NYDA for the improvement of its APP for the current financial year, 2022-23. The committee commended the NYDA for reflecting the committee budgetary review recommendations report into the APP of 2022-23 and thanked them for submitting the report on time. The committee sought more clarity on how the NYDA ensured that its target on the performance information and financial reporting integrated to the APP for 2022-23. In terms of the AG, the committee reiterated the importance of the Auditor General findings and recommendations based on the last annual report, and as such asked how that was taken into consideration the development of the APP for 2022-23. With respect to the board, the committee noted that matters pertaining to the board as performance and management was not apparent, and therefore the committee asked if it did find expression in the revised strategic plan and APP for 2022-23. To this end, the committee noted the importance of tracking performance of the NYDA board in an open and transparent manner. The committee was concerned that government support provided to young people was not enough given the high rate of unemployment in the country. In terms of MOUs and monitoring and evaluation, given the recent challenges that emerged with Sedibeng municipality, the committee reiterated the importance of establishing MOUs with strategic partners and in addition to conduct regular monitoring and evaluate whether what was agreed to has been given effect to. This was important to verify whether services have been rendered, beneficiaries have been reached, and that money is not misappropriated but accounted for. The issue of monitoring was also extended to the support provided to grant-based beneficiaries to ensure that mentors rendering the necessary support and to identify additional needs or assistance that beneficiaries require. And that was emanated again from the committee's recent oversight visit and looking and visiting the entrepreneurs in the two provinces. In terms of collaboration with the department, the committee reiterated the importance of collaboration between the NYDA and the department and therefore asked what programs will be worked on together, as this was not made evident in the APP. The committee noted with concern that targets which appeared in the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities APP for 2022-23 appear to encroach on the mandate of the NYDA and the roles and responsibilities of its CEO. To this end, the committee sought more clarity from the NYDA in this regard. The committee queried whether the NYDA had a working relationship with the department and in particular the program dealing with disability in the department. The committee questioned how the NYDA deals with policy formulation and research and development function, given its mandate and if collaborated with the department in this regard. In terms of law reform, and the two bills which there were observations on was the NYDA amendment bill. The committee noted that the NYDA stated that it provided input to the amendment bill and was satisfied in that regard. With regards to the SA Youth Development Goal, the committee was concerned with the potential overlap and duplication insofar as the NYDA Act is concerned, but having received a brief explanation from the head of the youth branch of the department, the committee was able to maintain more insight into the proposed bill. In terms of vacancies for the NYDA, the committee noted with concern the number of vacancies and queried which of these considered to be critical. The committee sought more information about the 15 specialists that were required, as it was unclear what these positions entailed. The committee noted with concern the vacancies for regional manager positions for the Western Cape, Eastern Cape and Northern Cape provinces and queried by when these will be filled. The committee requested an update on the two executive management positions that could not be filled due to the absence of the NYDA board in 2021. And then finally, in terms of vacancies, the committee questioned whether the NYDA had revised the organizational structure, and if yes, what informed the revised structure. Looking then at specific program matters for Program 1, in terms of value of funds, the committee noted that the NYDA intends doubling the value of funds sourced from the public and private sector to support youth development in Programs 1. In terms of missing targets, the committee noted that the targets which previously appeared in the APP of 2021-22 on customer survey, the annual report on government priorities were not reflected in the APP for 2022 and 23, and questioned whether these have been subsumed in other targets. In terms of partnerships with disabled people organizations, the committee commended the NYDA for including targets for people with disabilities and for identifying a disability champion to be trained to deal with issues of persons with disabilities. Furthermore, whilst the committee welcomed the partnerships to be established with disability organizations, the committee was unclear what the intended purpose was and whether the NYDA would be linking with the National Disability Machinery. Moving on to Program 2, Operations. In terms of Sub-Program 1, CETA Partnerships, the committee noted that the number of CETA partnerships remained the same as indicated in the APP for 2021-22 and questioned why that is, given the increase in funding received and the intended number of beneficiaries to be targeted. With respect to tech companies, the committee inquired as to which tech companies the NYDA intends targeting and what the NYDA hoped to gain out of these partnerships, as this was not made clear in the APP. In terms of business development, the committee noted that beneficiaries supported in terms of business development support services had decreased from 2,500 in the previous financial year, 2021-22, to 1,000 in 2022-23, as reflected in the current APP. As such, the committee queried why the target had decreased when the NYDA received more funds and intended to reach more youth. Just to correct, this is sub-program 2, Decent and Sustainable Employment Through Jobs Program. With respect to jobs placement, the committee noted that the target on 10,000 youth to be placed within the jobs program lacked detail, and therefore the committee requested more information in that regard. Without the requisite details, oversight is impeded. In terms of paid service opportunities, the committee noted that the process for identifying 35,000 young people securing paid services opportunities was not apparent in the APP, nor was there any indication of how the NYDA ensure equal distribution between provinces. Moving on to planned service activities, the committee queried what determines a service activity in terms of young people who have completed planned service activity, as this was not clear from the APP. The committee questioned whether these service activities are linked to CETA accreditation. The committee asked what are the targets for each service area and what are the provincial allocations for each province. The committee also questioned how these targets will be monitored. Then lastly, for the sub-program in terms of pathway management, the committee, whilst acknowledging the pathway management target, was unclear how the NYDA defined its key markers for success in this regard. This in turn will enable the committee to hold the NYDA to account in that regard by measuring and evaluating progress. Moving on to the National Youth Service, the committee noted that the National Youth Services branding strategy and noted the strategy and what it entailed was not outlined in the APP, and therefore more information was sought in that regard. The committee noted that the revised SATCAN referred to 20 National Youth Service projects that would be registered, but it was unclear if this had already been achieved or how many outstanding and by when will these be registered. The committee also requested the list of all the youth service projects. Finally, for Programme C, the Integrated Youth Development, on status outlook reports, the committee noted that the purpose of the three status youth status outlook reports was unclear and asked how they differed from the status of youth report. The concern was whether there was duplication. And that lastly, the committee also inquired whether the NYDA has considered conducting research on young people who are in prison and those dealing with substance abuse and how the NYDA assists these young people. Moving on to the observations for the Commission for Gender Equality, in terms of gender observations, the committee noted the importance of implementing the committee's budgetary review recommendations report 2021 and issues raised by the AG in relation to the annual report of 2020-21 and inquired whether these have been addressed within the current APP for 2022-23. As such, the committee questioned how the CG ensured that the recommendations of BRRs have been taken up and addressed in the APP when the example cited regarding SMART targets was not implemented. The committee questioned how the CGE translated the promotion and protection of gender equality within the revised strategic plan and the current APP, as this was not clear. The committee questioned how the CGE has ensured synergy between the amended strategic plan and the current APP when aspects such as litigation and complaint handling were not expressly stated as annual quarterly targets for the current financial year. The committee was not convinced that synergy was ensured. The committee questioned how plenary approved the APP for 2022-23 when many targets were not sparked and there was no continuity between the APP for 2021-22 and the current APP for 2022-23. It also brought into question what then informed the budget. The committee was concerned that targets planned by the CGE lacked the requisite details and were not smart, impeding oversight. As such, the committee requested an addendum to the APP for more details. Having received a second briefing by the CGE on its APP, the committee was provided with more clarity. Notwithstanding that, the committee noted certain targets still lacked specificity and therefore required more details. For example, listing the number of police stations and Tutuzela care centres that would be monitored. The committee was also concerned that the technical indicators descriptions lack detailed information and will not assist the committee in conducting astute oversight. The committee was not satisfied with the explanation that the operational plan will still be discussed in order to determine the activity-based costing. To this end, the committee questioned what informed the budgeting of the APP if activities were not detailed and costed according. This brought into question how the CGE conducted its strategic planning session. The committee noted with concern that the target on complaints handling that appeared in the previous APP 2021-22 no longer appeared in the current APP and therefore questioned what would happen to targets like that which have been omitted. Despite the explanation provided by the CGE for the omission of certain targets from the APP, the committee was concerned that the activities listed in the APP formed part of the operational activities of the CGE. But if they did not appear in the APP, the committee could not track progress. The committee noted the addition in the CGE's second briefing on its APP. In terms of litigation, the committee noted that litigation aspect of the CGE's work has been omitted in the revised strategic plan and current APP with no explanation provided in this regard. The committee was alarmed to hear that the CGE had still not resolved the issue of its legal standing with the Legal Practice Council, and as such, it was not allowed to offer legal advice to clients. In so doing, no legal clinics and no litigation could be undertaken. This matter has been unresolved since 2020, despite the committee being formed December 2020, that processes were underway with the Minister of Justice to resolve the matter. The committee welcomed the CGE's addendum to the APP for 2022-23 and noted that this would enable the committee to hold the CGE to account for their performance. The committee noted that CGAs made reference to its targets either being changed or omitted due to the limitations imposed by the CGE Act insofar as the enforcement of the recommendations are concerned, and sought clarity in that regard. The committee noted with concern teachers having relationships with learners, which at times resulted in learner pregnancy, and as such, the committee inquired what the CGE was doing in this regard. The committee was also concerned whether CGE had programs to deal with learners and substance abuse, as well as drug peddling. In terms of finance for the committee, for the CGE, the committee was unclear what informed the budgetary allocation per strategic outcome, as the CGE noted that it intends to still undertake activity costing for its operational plan. The concern noted by the committee was that the costing should have been done from the onset, that in the event that activities are planned retrospectively, the potential for not having adequate funds to fulfill a target remained high. The committee noted that the CGE returned 19 million to the National Treasury in the financial year 2021-22, but indicated that it required additional funding in order to implement its mandate for 2022-23. This appeared to be an anomaly, and as such, the committee requested clarity on data. In terms of observations for strategic outcomes, for strategic outcome number one, the legislative submissions and systemic investigations, the committee noted the lack of specificity for targets related to legislative submissions and systemic investigations, the details of which were only presented with addendum to the APP. In terms of monitoring courts, police stations and PCCs, the lack of details was also noted by the committee with regards to 40 courts will be monitored in addition to police stations and to Tuzela care centres. The committee was concerned about police stations that do not have to Tuzela care centres, especially those in remote rural areas. In terms of the Boy Child Program, the committee asked whether the CGE will continue the rollout of the Boy Child Program in the financial year 2022-23. In terms of a bill to be initiated by the CGE, the committee noted the CGE's intention of introducing a bill to address gender mainstreaming, but it was unclear how this would differ from the department's wage bill. In terms of outcome two, for complaints handling and legal clinics, the committee noted with concern that these targets did not appear in the current APP. The committee was alarmed that the CGE was not registered as a legal counsel practice, and therefore was not allowed to provide legal advice to clients. This was disconcerting as the issue was raised in December 2020 with the committee at a quarterly report briefing where the CGE informed the committee the matter would be resolved. However, the committee noted with concern CGE had subsequently not addressed the matter. In terms of stakeholder engagements, the committee noted with concern the lack of detail regarding the 720 stakeholders referred to with regards to the gender workshops. The CGE did not indicate which 722 stakeholders have been identified for the gender and development workshops and how many stakeholders will be targeted per province. Without the detail, the committee's oversight is impeded. The committee queried whether the community practitioners would be paid by the CGE, and if yes, what was the role of the CGE in that regard, as this was not stipulated in the APP for 2022-2023. In terms of outcome three, NSP and the National Council on GBVF, the committee noted the lack of specific targets as follow-on from work undertaken in the previous financial year. In terms of monitoring, the committee inquired which research reports will be monitored, when and how will these be monitored. The committee noted that the target lacked specific details, thus impeding oversight. In terms of treaty compliance and policy briefs, the committee noted which international or mutual policy briefs will be focused on in the 2022-23 financial year. And lastly, in terms of outcome four for the CGE, ICT, the committee wants to know what is the status of the ICT knowledge management. the committee also wants to know what are the submissions on legislation before Parliament. In terms of the M&E framework, the committee requests an update on the monitoring and evaluating frameworks. With respect to code of conduct, the committee questioned how the CGE's code of conduct could be reinforced given what had transpired in the last financial year. To this end, the committee queried what the status of the commissioner's handbook and the policy between commissioners and staff was, as these were important policies that govern relations within the CGE. The committee noted that these have been long-standing within the CGE. In terms of HR, with respect to vacancies, the committee noted with concern long-standing critical vacancies to be filled. The committee requested an update on the revision of salaries code it had sought from National Treasury and the Department of Public Service and Administration, given that the CGE cannot retain staff and attract people with the requisite skills to join the institution due to lower salary scales. The committee noted the number of critical vacancies and questioned why these were not filled and by then these would be filled. The committee noted with concern the long-standing unresolved matters that hindered the recruitment of senior managers in CGE, and despite having discussed the issues at length, the stalemate remained despite the reassurances from the CGE that issues would be addressed. To this end, the committee noted the budget vote report of 2021. The committee stated, the committee also questioned whether the chief executive officer violated the policy of the commission on establishing an interview panel with external stakeholders for interviews, and if so, what has the commissioners done in that regard? And that in terms of internal operations, what was also said in the previous budget vote report, the committee was concerned about reports that the CEO violated the policy of commission on establishing an interview panel with external stakeholders for interviews, and if so, what has the commission done in that regard? The committee questioned who was to be held to account for ensuring that the key management posts were full. To this end, the committee inquired whether consequence management was effective against officials who were not performing their duties. And that in terms of the handbook, the committee noted that the draft handbook for commissioners and the draft policy that was meant to govern the relation between commissioners and the secretariat was key to ensuring the internal challenges could be addressed and managed accordingly. The committee noted with concern that the handbook and policy was long overdue, and as such, the committee was asked for progress update in that regard. The committee noted their dissatisfaction with the commissioners for failing in their duties by not ensuring that critical positions were filled timely, for not giving effect to recommendations proposed by the committee, and for poor internal monitoring and evaluation. To this end, the committee questioned how the commissioners monitored whether CGE's mandate was given effect to via the administration. In terms of the legal practice for CGE, the committee also requested a progress update on the matter raised in 2020 with regards to legal powers that had been revoked by the Legal Practice Council and the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, which prevented the CGE from rendering a legal service. The committee noted with concern that the CGE was not allowed to provide legal support, a matter that has been left unattended to and unresolved for nearly 2 years without having informed the committee. To this end, the committee indicated it was disconcerting that legal clinics, complaints handling and litigation did not find expression in the APP because the CGE is not allowed to offer any legal advice to clients because it is not registered as per the Legal Practice Act. The committee was especially concerned about the impact of this on communities who cannot afford legal assistance and approach the CGE in this regard. The committee questioned why the HRD legal position was not filled. It also questioned the role of the legal unit within the institution, given that legal powers have been removed from the CHE. The committee queried whether the legal unit does not contribute to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, given the CGE's non-legal stature. In terms of the role of commissioners, The committee questioned the role of commissioners in giving effect to the APP and how they are held accountable in this regard, as only reference made to commissioners was in the technical indicated descriptor on monitoring police stations. So nowhere else in the APP does the role of commissioners find expression in terms of targets. The committee was concerned that the role of commissioners was not clear in the strategic plan of the commission. The committee was concerned that the APP and strategic plan was not aligned and questioned how commissioners adopted these documents that are misaligned. Moving then on to recommendations, again, these have been split between the department, NYDA and the CGE. So the department CFO should submit the documents received from National Treasury regarding the approval of the organizational structure. The department should ensure that its key performance indicators and targets are SMART. The departments must ensure that the annual performance plan and strategic plan are aligned and that the regulatory part of the mandate should be incorporated in programs of the department. A detailed report should be submitted to the committee in this regard within 2 weeks after the adoption of this report. The department should rework the targets related to use in the APP and allow the CEO and the NYDA to perform their duties. The department should also look at how it will support the NYDA to implement its mandate. The department should ensure that the consultant transfer skills to support staff of the department to avoid use of consultants all the time, and the department should have its own team of researchers to conduct research on behalf of the department. The department should inform the committee on which reports are written by officials of the department. The department should engage with National Treasury on the merger of a former Rights of Persons with Disabilities program, which was 4 as per the previous APP, and Youth Development Program 5, again, previous APP of the department, and establish on why the department was allowed to only have 4 programs. In terms of the NYDA, it should expedite the filling of critical vacant posts, ensure improved conditions between the department and itself regards to consultations on the NYDA amendment bill, should develop a monitoring tool to assess its partnership with municipalities and ensure the proper implementation of memorandum of understanding signed with the municipalities. This monitoring mechanism should extend to include all other partners. The NYDA should ensure that young people are supported by the NYDA through grants and other forms of support. It should develop a WhatsApp form of communication that will reach young people, including young people in rural areas, regarding services and products offered by the NYDA. NYDA should also consider the issue of language per province in communicating with young people. This includes Braille for persons with disabilities and sign language for deaf persons. The NYDA should monitor projects and programs funded by them in terms of checking progress made and challenges faced by projects. The NYDA to follow up on the 2 projects that are struggling visited by the committee during its oversight visit to Northwestern Gauteng province from 18 to 23 April 22 and report back to the committee on progress made in this regard based on the challenges and needs identified. The NYDA to forward the relevant information to the committee regarding the SA Youth MOBI Act via WhatsApp and any other NYDA-related services and products. With respect to the recommendations for the CGE, it should submit a report to the committee on the role of commissioners in provinces insofar as giving effect to the APP and the amended strategic plan is concerned within 2 weeks after the adoption of this report, give effect to the recommendations made by the AG as per the past annual report as well as improve on its internal financial management, ensure that the role of commissioners be outlined clearly in a plan vis-a-vis the annual performance plan for 2022-23 to the committee. It submitted to the committee was in 2 weeks of the adoption of this report. Attend the revoking of its legal powers with the Legal Practice Council and the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development within 6 months from meeting of 11 May 2022 and report back to the committee on how they have dealt with the matter. E, the CGE should finalize filling of critical vacancies in the CGE within 3 months after their meeting of 11 May 2022 and report back to the committee. The committee should have a respective meeting after the meeting with the CGE, correction, not the committee. The CGE should have a respective meeting after the meeting with the committee and develop a tracking tool for track resolutions emanating from meetings. The CGE should provide a list of courts, police stations, and tutorial care centers that will be monitored to the committee. The CGE should also encourage police stations that are in remote areas to establish tutorial care centers to assist victims of gender-based violence. The CGE should present a report in a timely manner to the committee to allow it to effectively engage with its contents. As needed, the CGE to request to present relevant and pertinent reports to the committee to ensure that recommendations and concerns are addressed. And finally, in terms of National Treasury, it should furnish the committee with a report on the merger of programs in the department. And then in conclusion, the committee welcomes all the annual performance plans that have been submitted to it for consideration and report, and will continue to ensure that astute oversight is conducted over the department, the Commission for Gender Equality, and the National Youth Development Agency. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Kashifa, for your presentation. And honorable members, that is the report on the work that we have done with the three Department of Women, the CGE and the NYDA. So I will allow honorable members to raise their hands if there are any corrections, additions, amendments, and if there are any omissions, I will allow members to comment. Honorable Masiko and Honorable Omtiti, any other hand? Honorable Ngogo, Honorable Masondo, Konenyimem, okay. If ang babona banyege bazang indicator lokuthi their hands are up. Thank you, honourable members. In that order.
Thank you very much, honourable chairperson. I think firstly, before one makes the comment on the report itself, we'd like to appreciate the work chairperson of our researchers or content advisors. I think they're really doing an excellent job, firstly, in ensuring that the portfolio committee is well prepared for the departmental reports all the time, and we're able to engage in a level that will give us a final product that we are seeing today. We must really appreciate that work. Secondly, Honorable Chairperson, I think we must plead with the departments to be, you know, on. I don't want to say, I don't know what the correct word is, but when sending reports, I think it's always professional to always check on whether the recipient of the report has received any documents that are sent, not only to Parliament, but anyway, when you're sending a report, you're always vigilant in ensuring that the recipient of the report is receiving. So something as important
this for me. It was really uncalled for them not to realize that they had actually sent the report to an incorrect email address. So those are the things that we need to request the department to look into. In terms of the report, Honorable Chair, on page 45, which is dealing with the NYDA and the department, point number C or bullet number C says that the department should rework the targets related to youth in the APP and allow the CEO of the NYDA to perform their duties. The department should also look at how it will support the NYDA to implement its mandate. I think, Chair, in relation to the discussions around this, I think there is a problem in how the targets of the youth have been structured, which is also captured here. But I think over and above that, we need to, you know, I don't know whether this point correctly captures the whole discussion around the issue of the program youth development, because what I've seen here is that we had raised the concern around the merging of the disability as well as youth, but we've not, in terms of the recommendations, captured correctly how these two programs must not be, well, we don't recommend for them to be put together. I don't see any recommendation dealing with that, but I am sure Kashifa will assist us, because that C that we are having here is not capturing correctly our recommendations around program 4 and 5 that has now been merged. And then the next point, it's just to put the guns home. The last one, Chairperson, is on point E, that reads that the NYPA should monitor the project or programs funded by them in terms of checking progress made and challenges faced by the project, the NYPA to follow up on two projects that are struggling visited. I think we need to correct that sentence, or maybe those two words, because one had to read it again to understand what it means when it says that the NYPA to follow up on the two projects that are struggling visited by. Maybe we could say that were found to be struggling by the committee, or that the committee had visited and they found them to be struggling. I think we need to reconstruct that part alone. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Masiko. It's just unfortunately that from my side, you were cutting off. So maybe from your side and Kashifa's side, if she heard you. And maybe if you can also send what you were saying to her, if maybe she was experiencing the same problem that I'm experiencing from my side.
But correcting.
Thanks for
input. Okay. But I can see that she's already corrected it.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. All right.
Chairperson, sorry to interrupt. Can I just get clarity from Ms. Maxico and members? The request was that there needs to be a specific recommendation. The committee wants the program for disability and program for youth to function as independent programs and not to be merged. I can insert that recommendation. I just need clarity from...
Yeah, what we said that day,
okay.
What we said that day is that what you need to do as the committee will have to invite the National Treasury to the portfolio committee so that they can also come and explain to us on why did they wanted the department to match the program of NYDA and the disability program, when those two are the core mandates of the department. So they are a key function. So they must be separated. It can be matched. So that, because if they are matched, they are made as sub-programs, it reduces them. And the department not to be a department of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. So those two core functions must be separated according to the mandate of the department and how the president have proclaimed that this department is a department of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. This thing of measuring the two core functions, it's not correct. That was the discussion of the portfolio committee that day.
Chairperson, so just to follow on from your recommendation then, so like Chair indicated, there's a request to engage with National Treasury, and immediately after that, the committee maintains that each of these programs should operate independently, hence these two core functions must be separated.
Should be separated, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, okay with that one.
Yes, Chair, I've corrected it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And a very good morning to all honorable members, our staff. Chair, you know, I wanted to also come in on the point that Honorable Masiko has raised. And I suppose my point is similar, but not exactly similar. But I wanted to say that, you know, in remembering that discussion during the portfolio committee that we had on that day, the concern was also around the targets for that particular program, the youth development program. And we had stated quite clearly that those particular targets were really not meaningful in any way, but rather just playing an oversight role over the NYDA. And ours was to request, you know, the department itself, what is it that it is doing to fast track youth development, particularly from its own resources and its own plan. And so, you know, with points. I'm not quite sure what page that is. I think we just need to make it clear that it wasn't merely just the merger between the disability and the youth development portfolio, but it was also an additional concern around the actual targets that seemed to really, you know, focus everything on the NYDA rather than what the department was doing for itself. So I just think that was an important component. And then...
Yeah, Mpiti, we are right. It's two different points. We are correct. The issue of the targets, we raised it with them. If my memory serves me well, you remember in their targets, they wrote they will assess assess the reports of the NYDA quarterly, which was four quarters, if I'm not mistaken. And they said, no, they can't be putting NYDA as part of their target. They must bring a meaningful target on what is it as that they are doing in that branch of youth as the department. You are correct. So it's two different things. It must come out clearly that it's something that we have raised with them, that their targets are not convincing us. They are not smart, and that it's not clear on exactly what it is that they are doing as the department. And I think Dr. Penny, on the day we were having a NYDA, we even asked her, and she said, Chair, maybe if you can call us so that you can come in and make a presentation to the portfolio committee on the things that we are doing in the youth branch. But this thing of them saying they will be having targets on NYDA, it was an issue that it was a, yeah, we did not accept that as the portfolio committee. We said we want a clear program on what is it that they are doing on that youth branch. So I'm sure what you can do is to assist us on how to put it so that it can be a meaningful a recommendation. PG?
Thanks, Chair. I'm just waiting for Kashifa to, I think she's putting the point in now.
You can think, try to work on it and then come back and give us a suitable recommendation. It's okay.
Okay. And then just the other point, Chair, you know, I was just, you know, maybe it's been mentioned, I'm just not sure, about the chief directors for both of those particular directorates, the disability and the youth. There was a question around whether the department is going to remain having two chief directors for one program, or whether those chief directors will be working how. I'm just trying to remember. I'm not sure if the department actually answered that question around this particular program.
Yeah, I remember it. I think it was asked by Ngobo. I don't remember, but I know there was one of the honorable members who did ask on how then are they going to do with the post of the two chief directors, the chief director for disability and the chief director on the youth branch. If I'm not mistaken, there was a question like that. And I'm not sure what was the response from the department, or whether they said they are not going to change the structure. It's only that they've put they've met the two programs as per what National Treasury said. If I remember very well what they said that day, which we said it's not recommended or advisable by us as the committee. We don't prefer it. Till now, we still stick. But we want these two core programs to be separated, because what informed the measure, that answer was not clear on why are they measuring. They were just pushed to measure these two, but otherwise they were not going to be given money. So they did it for compliance sake, which it's not assisting us, or no, the persons with disability and the youth. It's not, in fact, this one we're disagreeing with National Treasury, and we're disagreeing with the department.
Yes, Chair. So yeah, 100%. I think Kashifa has already put it in there. And just the wording for me on the first point was just merely to say, I don't know if we could to state that the targets that the department had brought to us really didn't indicate what the department was going to do in regard to youth development.
Which one? Which bullet? The first bullet?
I don't know if that's just... it's the one that Kashif was on right now. It's the second bullet. Second bullet, yeah. The committee was not convinced that the targets focused on youth in Program 4 addressed youth development in the country. And I suppose
we
had no clarity as to what the department was actually doing to drive youth development under this particular directorate, because those particular targets were focused on oversight over, you know, the NYDA's quarterly report, oversight over NYDA offices and branches. So those were things that really, you know, the department itself was not doing. So I just want, I think if we put it like the committee was unclear how the department was going to drive youth development in the country while their targets were all focused, or for lack of a better word, doing in regards to youth development. I think that would make sense. Hopefully it made sense. Perfect. I think that reads well. And then to everybody who put the report together, guys, we are so appreciative. It's really a well put together report. Thank you so much for the work that you guys do. Chair, that's all from me. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have captured it correctly. Now, Kashifa. And are you done with your comments, Honorable Mpiti?
Yes, Chair. I think everything else is fine on my side. I think the only other issue was
on CBE. Yourself and Masiko, are you okay with CGE, how we have captured the issues of CGE?
Yes, Chair, I think that they've been correctly captured as per the discussions of the portfolio committee meetings.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Mpiti. If you can still work on that, the other one, if we're not done with it. So that Kashifa can wonder which one was it? Maybe if you can put down that 6.3 something.
Chair, on my side, the two points that I raised, I think they've been properly covered. You know, just the one quick one was around that the 19 million rand that was returned to Treasury, because I think it's very important how we phrase that one, because we've been asking as a committee for the CGE's budget to be increased so that they can do more work. So just on that point, I know that they had given a response to say why that money was returned. And I think they said something about, I think it was the CFO who said something about accruals. I'm not sure if you remember that point, Chair, but I just wanted wanted it to read clearly, not for us to say that, you know, they've just returned that money, but because there was a reason, I think, that they mentioned about having accruals, which then led to them not being able to use the money because of, I'm not quite sure what was the actual point, but I just think if we can be clear on that issue so that it doesn't, you know, end up affecting them later on. Thanks.
Yep, understand.
Yeah, it's this one.
And you want us to change where
Chair, I think, you know,
what was the recommendation, Kashifa, on this one?
I don't think we had a specific recommendation. It was just an observation by members, Chair, but I'll check.
I think they said something about accruals. Yeah, correct. They did say something that the reason, because why do we ask them, why did they return back 19 million to National Treasury and also ask for an additional money while they haven't used 19 million? And then they, in their explanation, they said, no, with this 19 million, it was for accruals. It's money that is committed, but due to end of financial year, they couldn't pay on time. So they will need to, this money already is committed to something else. So they will request National Treasury to give them, to give it back, so that they are able to go and pay the things that were supposed to have been paid with this 19 million. I think that's what they explained that day in the meeting, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Honorable Masiko.
I think that is the correct explanation which they gave us, though I was not happy with that explanation because at the end of the day, it still boils down to poor planning.
Yes.
I did not really do a follow-up on that explanation by the CFO.
Yeah.
I think it was
CFO.
Yes, Chairperson. Money spent is money that, yes, it was committed, or money unspent, even though it was committed, remains money unspent if the financial year ends and they haven't spent the money. No matter how you approach it, Chair, they just, were not able to spend that money, even though they had committed it, because probably because of poor planning on their side. Thank you.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I think But yeah, I'm not sure, Kashifo, what is it enough to say CFO gave an explanation in this regard, and where we satisfied as the committee regarding a poor planning? Of course not. Yeah, I'm sure now it's fine. How does it read now, honorable members? Are you satisfied with how we're capturing it?
Yes.
I'm happy with the chair, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we get Babu Ngobo? Honorable members, you must all participate. This is our report. We're all in the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning.
Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, under observations, the committee had noted that the department did not include the targets relating to the development of the Disability Rights Bill. So I think that maybe we should also include a recommendation that says that the department must rework its targets relating to persons with disabilities and include targets relating to the development of the Disability Rights Bill. This will then allow us as a committee to be able to monitor the progress that the department will be making on the development of this bill. Thanks, Chief.
Sir Babu Ngobo, we're talking on which...
Or under recommendation, Chairperson. So I just add the recommendation, yes, that says that the department must include specific targets relating to the development of the Disability Rights Bill.
Okay.
Chairperson, just on this,
yes.
You know, we don't have, I mean, Crystal can just let me know, correct me, but we also don't have a target on the National Council on Gender-Based Violence Bill. Crystal, I don't think...
Yeah, we don't have. I didn't see it.
So then there should be two targets. Besides the target for this Disability Rights Bill, there should also be... development of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence Bill.
Yeah, that one must be in a part of our recommendations. And this one, it should be an agent one. Thank you. Yeah. Right, Kashifa. Right, Kashifa. I wanted to check the bullets that we were correcting from Honorable Masiko and Honorable Mpiti. Have we checked the recommendations on what is it that we have said?
They were themselves the recommendations, Chair, that we were correcting. Yeah. They thought the bullets that we were dealing with were under recommendations.
Yeah, because we were on the observations, and I think we were supposed to check what did we say on the recommendations. Kashifa?
As Ms. Masiko said, Chairperson, noted we corrected the recommendations as we went along. And Chairperson, Crystal just mentioned to you now there's the wage bill too.
Yes.
There's nothing on the wage bill as well. So we talked to National Council on
In fact, was it there in their target?
Maybe Crystal can just come in. I think there was one target about. No, I can't remember. Crystal got her hand up, Jay. She can just clarify for us. Thank you.
Yeah. Morning, Crystal, you can come in.
Thank you, Jay. Morning, Jay. Morning, members. What happened was they had it in their narrative. They mentioned the wage bill in the narrative in the APP and in the strategic plan, but there's actually no target in the actual APP on the wage bill, even though it's in the narrative. So it's the same as these ones that Kashifa has put in here, because they've also put it in the narrative, but there's no actual target. So the wage bill also falls under these, to say that there's no specific target, even though it's there, it's mentioned, but there isn't an actual annual target on it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I want to support because we did engage about it and also asked with its reintroduction, what are the timelines? We had requested for them to add now the exact timelines because they had noted in the narrative that they are reintroducing it again, but there were no timelines in relation to its finalization.
Yeah. You're right, Christelle. So, Kashifa, where are you going to put it? Or you added it, on the where you wrote the bill. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Christelle. And what else? With regards to monitoring and evaluation, what did they say, by the way? Not too long. You're not so don't you meeting in.
Sikona Chair.
Sikona Chair, can you just repeat the question that you had asked?
I was asking in terms of monitoring and evaluation, what did they say about their tool and so forth? Remember, their first mandate was monitoring. They'll have to monitor and mainstream issues of gender, mainstreaming and so forth. And then when they changed to regulatory, when I was reading the report, Kashifa, I saw they have put monitoring. I was reading their targets, in fact. And I saw that it's in the, but I'm not sure what did you say about how are they going to monitor other departments. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking aloud.
Yes, Chair. I do actually remember that one. And I think, oh, sorry, I see. Should I go, Chair, or
Honorable? Yes, continue, please.
Okay. I do remember it, Chair, because it was an issue, I think, that came up when we were asking about how will they do monitoring and evaluation of other departments when they are not doing it themselves. And I think it was related to what was this thing? Okay, let me just go through my notes. I'll come back.
Okay. This one is critical. Okay, Chair.
Chair, my hand is up. I don't know on your side, Chair. If I come stand, I'll see how I'm going to be born.
Chair, you can speak.
Oh, Chair. I was just saying that sir, my hand, there's a problem because it has been up, Chair. But Chair, I'm on the recommendations on the NYDA, Chair, 7.2E, where it says the NYDA should monitor project programs funded by them in terms of checking progress made and challenges faced by the project. The NYDA should follow up on two projects that are struggling visited by the committee during its oversight visit in Northwestern Gauteng from the 18th to the 23rd of April 2022 and report back to the committee. Chair, I feel that the committee has been saying that has been saying all along that the NYDA should visit all failed projects and come back with the report, not just those that we went to in Gauteng. That was my submission, Chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks, ST. Yeah, what we must not reduce it to the ones that we visited in Gauteng only. There are other projects in other provinces which we did not go and check. But now when we address it, we must address it holistically and not leave other provinces out. Thanks, Stan. In fact, they must revisit or review how they appoint mentors to those projects. Because if they appoint people who are busy somewhere and not appoint people who will focus and concentrate on how to mentor young people who are young entrepreneurs to be young entrepreneurs or those that are they are funded already and just appoint any person without even checking, you know, on whether that person, how is the performance of that mentor that they have appointed, because that's the discrepancy that we discovered, Tina, what we identified as a weakness from their side, that they appoint mentors and then no one is checking up on those mentors if they are doing what is expected or not, which then becomes a problem. And it then fails young people to progress in their businesses.
Sir, can I ask something?
Yeah, my son is.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members and the officials. Chair, I'm just asking, I think if I'm out of order, will tell me. There is a letter from the CGE that is for vacancies. Is it not going to be part of the report that you are going to adopt? I just want to ask that.
It's not.
Okay.
It's separate from the report that we're talking about. The report is about the budget, the fiscus, what is allocated for them in this financial year. And all those vacancies are funded vacancies. So the letter, it's a different agenda from what you're adopting.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Yeah, but what we discussed with them that day, it's filling in of critical positions, which they left them for almost 2 years. You know, that one of the reasons that makes NYDA to have many challenges is that one, they haven't filled in senior executive positions for almost 2 years, which then goes to a performance of a CEO. What, how do they assess a performance of a CEO? Because how do you, as an accounting officer, not fill critical positions? How does the institution run effectively and efficiently if you don't fill critical positions in the institution? What was even worse, there were no acting people in those positions. They only appointed one person to act on the day when they were coming to the portfolio committee or the day before they came to the portfolio committee, which is head of illegal. But you can imagine all along they were running the organization without senior management. Lentally, it deals with the incapacity of illocution in performance as CEO. What kind of a manager of an organization will be having vacant positions as critical for 2 years? How is she running organization? Can I hear any comments, Honorable Boni, Honorable Ngobo, regarding that one? Because a good appointment a legal person that also impacted negatively on the act that has omitted ECGE to do legal things and which then the law council took their license not to practice any illegal things, whereas the an institution that depends on legal issues and evaluating or assessing laws which are implemented, whether laws are implemented correctly by all of us, there's no inequality and so forth. So if that division, that unit has got no legal person, then it's a problem. It's a challenge, especially this time when we have Amana cases where gender-based violence and femicide and inequality. That's why they even failed to deal with the issues that one of their colleagues who discriminated one of their colleagues in front of them. And this thing of delaying AMA cases, Wamanyama commissioners, the two commissioners, it also goes to that also. Jay, how they run the organization, it's not a professional. And why didn't they charge the CEO up for not filling those vacancies so long? Can we talk to that and check if we have covered it? Because this is one of the items that we spoke at length and we made recommendations to them. Honorable Pony. Is Honorable Pony in the meeting? Honorable Sonia Nukwana meeting in. Tomo, I see your hand is up.
No, sorry, Chair. It's the first time letting the can call Mr. Kalin.
Oh, okay, you can lower it down. Makhulu document lent years fixes and
Chairperson, so just to respond in terms of the recommendation, in the observations, we note the issue of the critical vacancies, and based on the second meeting with the CGE, the recommendation was very clear, and the critical vacancies must be filled within 3 months of that meeting of the 11th, and the CGE must report back to the committee. So that was the specific recommendation the committee had made, Chairperson.
You were saying what, Kashifa?
Chairperson, so under our observations, we capture the issue of the chairperson's concerns and members' concerns around the critical vacancies. And on that meeting of the 11th, the committee made a very specific recommendation that they should CG should finalise filling of critical vacancies within 3 months after the meeting of the 11th, May 2022, and to report back to the committee. So we gave a timeline, but it's specific. We said what the critical vacancies were.
Yeah, we did give them timelines. I think with the issue of commissioner the commissioner was always absent. We gave them 4 weeks. Where is it here?
Chair, we didn't include, those were in terms of the minutes for our meeting.
That was
a separate agenda item. Chairperson, I just want to thank you, Chairperson and members, back to your concern around M&E and the department.
Okay.
So I know you said in our observation, like Mr. Mpiti said, the concern was we weren't sure what they were doing around monitoring and evaluation. So under this recommendation, where we talk to the issue of ensuring the APP and the STATAN are aligned, that we want a detailed report within 2 weeks, this report should clearly articulate what monitoring and evaluation activities will be undertaken by the department in the current financial year using existing frameworks. So in other words, Chairperson, that could talk to one, the issue of the regulator, what does that mean? That must be detailed to us. And two, how exactly they're going to monitor and evaluate using their frameworks. So one of their frameworks is, for example, the gender responsive planning, budgetary, monitoring, evaluation and audit framework. But that's just one of many of their frameworks. Because remember, disability also has monitoring frameworks. So when they submit this report that outlines what they're going to do in terms of their role as a regulator, it should also stipulate what are the activities in terms of M&E.
Yeah, and they haven't come with any success story after they've changed their mandate. There's no, what is it that they've regulated?
I think, Chairperson, that's very helpful. So when they submit to you in 2 weeks, it will kind of be like an addendum to what the CGE did, like an addendum to the APP, identify exactly what the regulatory role would entail, as well as M&E. Then you can track based on what they put down every quarter, whether they're doing what they're supposed to.
Yeah. No, thanks, Kashifa. I think those were the recommendations and the observations that we made on the day of deliberating with the three the department and CGE and NYTA. So. I think anything else, honourable members? If there's anything that we have left, you can raise it. If you feel maybe there are other things that maybe you still feel that you must add on our report, you can raise them now so that we can move for the adoption of our report.
Chairperson, just to pick up on Mr. Mpiti's, the issue of the concern about what is this youth branch doing in terms of youth development. So this recommendation said the department should rework the targets related to youth in the APP and allow the CEO and the NYDA to perform the duties. The department should also look at how it will support the NYDA to implement its mandate. Then I've added, department should clearly state how they are advancing youth development in the country in the current financial year.
Yeah.
Because that talks to Mr. Mpiti's concern about youth development.
Yeah, because we don't want them to micromanage NYDA. They have the role and a responsibility to play, but they must not micromanage NYTA. You remember, even the issue of why have they taken the two functions of research and development and a policy formulation, and which is something that they explained, but it's here not there. Because when they were explaining to the portfolio committee, they wanted to say it's only them who must formulate policy, but the NYDA has a responsibility too to initiate a policy. And then whether they wanted to table it to Parliament through the portfolio committee or through the department, but they can't stop the NYDA because it's there in the Act. So the department can't just wake up and change the Act of NYDA. I am Biganjar. Things that are in the Act of the NYDA, the NYDA has the responsibility to go and do them. How they think of the NYDA, it's not correct in my understanding. But at least we did talk about that in the meeting, and they fall under their ministry. It doesn't mean it doesn't take away their powers of things that and their mandates on things that they should go and implement. But I think we have captured it correct, Kashifa, unless honorable members, they feel otherwise. But for me, for now, I think we have done due diligence by correcting and making amendments in some of the things, and so that they make sense for a person who reads our report, because some of the things, if we write it for us and it doesn't help the public, because these reports are being available for public. So when a person reads the report, must understand on what is it that we're saying here as the portfolio committee. But so far, I think I have satisfied myself on the things that we have done now, unless other members, they feel otherwise. Can I get your views, honorable members, on how then do you feel about the report, and or how do you see how we have captured the issues as per what was discussed in all the three meetings or four meetings?
Thank you very much, Honorable. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chair, I think we've done the due diligence as a portfolio committee in terms of the corrections that we have made. But one must go back to the previous words that I had started with in thanking the content advisors for the good work that they have put into the report. And I think that is why we are having minimal amendments to the report itself, Chairperson. I don't know whether it's the correct time now to actually move for the adoption of the report, as we are happy with the content of the actual report itself, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. It is the correct time to move for the adoption of the report. Thank you very much. Can I get a seconder for the adoption of the report? Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Honorable T.S. Masondo. I second the adoption of the report.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. The report of the Portfolio Committee has been adopted. I think we are done with this report, Honorable Members. Can we then move to the second item? The third item? Nelisa.
Yes, Chair.
Nelisa and Dr. Chitembe. Can you assist on the letter that we have received from the acting speaker?
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. In the issue of the letter...
Honorable Members, do you have this letter, ne? Okay, Dr. Teme.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. Actually, the letter pertains to the vacancies which currently exist at CGE and impending vacancies that's gonna exist at the end of October. So what the speaker did, just sent a letter to the committee to remind it so that it initiate the vacancies according to the timeline or foresight that there is gonna be likely vacancies which gonna occur in October, and the one which are impending, which are pending, the one of that follows the resignation of Jennifer Smout and Dr. Tlaleng. Thereafter, there were conversion, which means there are two part-time vacancies, and the one that will occur in October, which are of the four commissioners currently in CGE. So that's the basis of the letter. So the committee is aged to fill these vacancies. That is how far, unless there are other explanation that needs to be done. Okay. Thanks.
Dr. Tem. Amen.
Yeah, but Chair.
Ukhathekile or what?
No, I didn't cut. So I have explained the basis of the letter that the speaker had sent this letter to the committee.
Oh, okay, you're done.
I thought so, but unless wanted to
ngapha kimi iyakhatha angazi mhlawumbe i-network i-week today at the site at Dr. Temp. That's why I was calling you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Tembe, for your presentation. Honorable members, there are two vacancies currently that we need to fill for CGE. And then in this letter, the deputy speaker was explaining to us that previously these vacancies, they were filled by ad hoc. The parliament used to appoint ad hoc committees, but now they have changed. These vacancies must be filled by the portfolio committee, which is responsible for oversight. And so it's our portfolio committee now that has got that responsibility to ensure that the two vacancies are being filled. So later on in October, when they are the four commissioners, their term of office lapses, will have to fill the other four. So I'm not sure, Dr. Tembe, if it's allowed, would we put them together and advertise them same time to save costs and time due to we are going to have two bills, if I'm not mistaken, that we have to deal with as the portfolio committee. And then what I want to check also, if by law it's allowed that we can fill them now, but we'll have to inform CGE, and also I'm not sure whether we'll have to take a resolution and table it in the House so that we get that permission to fill all six of them. Because for now we only have two vacancies that we have to fill. If you may guide us on what is it that we can do, and get hints from honourable members on what do they think. Because if it is the portfolio committee that needs to do it, we'll have then to establish a subcommittee according to the rules of Parliament, which Dr. Tembe and our researchers or content advisor, they have to bring it to the portfolio committee so that we know exactly to say which rule from Parliament that gives us powers to establish the subcommittee, and then we'll have to elect the subcommittee in the portfolio committee, represented all obviously by all parties in the portfolio committee, and then so that we by next month were able to start the process and advertise, and then we fill those two vacancies as fast as we can, so that when the term of the four commissioners expires, the two would have started. There won't be a gap. They'll be having a quorum so that they can continue to do their work, while the other four vacancies will have to be filled. So can I get comments from honourable members first on what is your view, and then go to Dr. Tembe to get the legal opinion on how to go about in terms of this process. Can I get the hands, honourable members? Honourable Mason.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was counting the months that are still left with these four. It's only 3 months. So in the process of interviewing, we need to advertise the post. We need to make selection and then the interviews. So I think maybe if the law allows us, we should just advertise all the positions, then we make appointments, because it's only 3 months that is left. We reach August. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Masondo. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to quickly come in on this is that, you know, we obviously are fully aware as a portfolio committee the challenges that CGE is currently facing. So I do accept and agree with what Honorable Masondo has said in saying that we need to prioritize the filling of these particular vacancies as soon as possible, noting the fact that there is quite a number of senior management positions that remain unfilled. Therefore, it means that, you know, we must prioritize this as soon as possible. The only thing that I would say is that obviously there are outstanding matters that the speaker is dealing with in terms of, you know, the reports and the complaints that have come in from the CGE to the speaker. And I guess my question for Dr. Tembe would be, can those two processes, filling the vacancies and dealing with the outstanding issues, happen simultaneously? Noting the fact that if there are any of the current commissioners that want to reapply, maybe some of them may be impacted by the outcomes of those different issues that the speaker is currently dealing with. So I think for me, it's just to have that clarity so that if they do run simultaneously, we don't sit with a problem at a later stage where perhaps it is found that a particular commissioner has been impacted or has basically failed to operate within the confines of the code of conduct. So just to have that clarity. And then the last question, just to say that if there is no ad hoc committee process as was previously done, just to get some clarity as to how that will be handled, whether we must nominate as parties, individuals to take that process forward, or whether the entire portfolio committee would be the actual panel. But on my side, Chair, I support your view to say that they should all be advertised at once, with the understanding that the vacancies that are currently at CGE require that we really push this process as fast as possible to ensure that the CGE is able to function from a governance point of view. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti. If I may ask, is there any outstanding case from the speaker that we were supposed to deal with as the portfolio committee? Nelson? I thought that enough from our side, we have dealt with the ones that were sent to the speaker, honorable members, and we have even responded to the speaker on the issue, things that the speaker forwarded to us that was part of the complaint from one of the commissioners. And we responded. Remember, we had a meeting, and Dr. Tembe was part of the meeting. And when we even called, invited CGE so that you can be able to deal with the those issues that were raised against us as a committee. And we responded to the speaker as the portfolio committee. And then if there's any other matter that honorable members I don't know of, you are free to remind me. So that even when you are dealing with these issues with CGE, we do them once and for all.
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Masigo?
I think there are no issues currently before us as a portfolio committee, but I think what Honorable Mpiti was referring to is the fact that we had made recommendations in the last meeting that we had with CGE on the matter of the conduct of some of their members, that they rewrite the report or maybe they rework the report in terms of the recommendations for them to be clear. So, Chairperson, I would think that on the recommendations that they will that they have sent to the Office of the Speaker, some of them might impact on the eligibility of the current some of the current commissioners to re-avail themselves for a reappointment. So probably, Chairperson, I don't know, we might be guided by Mr. Dembe, because maybe the action that the Speaker will recommend will bring the matter back to the Portfolio Committee. I don't want to preempt what the Speaker's response will be to the report, but I would think that it might so happen that maybe in terms of the action that needs to be taken as per the recommendation of the report or the commissioner or the commission itself on the conduct of those members, we might have another matter to deal with in terms of processing the findings as well as the recommendations made by the commission itself. I don't know whether I'm clear on this matter, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Masiko. Let me get Dr. Tembe.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. First, I need to clarify on the issue of the pending vacancies. Actually, in terms of the Act, the President may appoint a new members for the unexpired portion of the one that that converted. So that's the first issue that I need to clarify, because that one is agent. Because if you make these two appointments following the resignation and conversion, those commissioners who will be appointed will be to fill that vacancies or for the unexpired portion which these two left. Secondly, for those which will arise in October, I think it is advisable that the committee can fill it now, because in terms of the office program or parliamentary program, it has been observed that normally it takes close to more than 6 months to fill a vacancy because of other processes. There are a lot of processes and other factors to be considered. But our office has decided that in order for a vacancy to be filled, we just alert the Speaker at least 6 months before, so that the committee or parliament or the National Assembly Portfolio Committee act timeously. So in this particular case, when this letter triggered the initiation, that was timeously for the vacancies that will arise in October. For the other which are pending following the conversion, I think the committee is already lagging behind time. Secondly,
we're proactive.
Yes, we're proactive in our approach. So I think that can be used, that can be done simultaneously, because that is cost effective and cost efficient. Because if you start a process now, it will take time to conclude, then there are other vacancies. Because at the end, the appointment, you just make a resolution that the appointment be staggered, so that those which are currently pending can be done promptly, and those which can arise in October. So that is staggering the appointment of these commissioners. Then on the issue of eligibility, in terms of the Act, I think, just bear with me a second, just going to the Act. in terms of the Act, it says the Section 3-4 of the CG Act, it says the members of the commission may be appointed as full-time or part-time and shall hold office for such fixed term not exceeding 5 years, as the president may determine at the time of each appointment, provided that the term of office of the full-time members shall not expire simultaneously. For those which their term lapse in October, the four of them are eligible for reappointment, because in terms of the Act, a person may hold term not more than 2 times, so and for a period of 5 years. So those commissioners were in their first term. There's an air co-chair, I don't know.
You know, Dr. Tembe, I'm trying to listen to what you're presenting, because the problem that I'm having, my computer keeps cutting you. So that's why I have opened my second gadget. But I'm sure I'll have to close it, because it echoes.
Okay, Jay. But okay.
I hope that honorable members have heard what you are presenting.
No, I'm not yet finished, Chair. Then on the issue of the ad hoc committee, probably that's a political decision, which I think the letter also states that. Then the committee can decide and motivate if it decides that this issue of filling of vacancies be done through an ad hoc committee. You've got factors you've pointed out, probably that you've got 2 bills. And the timelines, probably that can be some of the factors that can be used in the motivation. So it's up to the committee to take a decision on that one. Then on the conduct of their members, currently I won't say there has been any indictment on the commissioners to say that they are eligible. It's up to the committee to take the matter forward. But I need to point out that the committee is supposed, in terms of its function and mandate, to fill these vacancies timelously. Because our office, as an office on institutions supporting democracy, placed in the speaker's office, it just advised the speaker to say, here are the vacancies, especially following its establishment by Kader Asmal, to observe on these vacancies, governance and other issues on this institution supporting democracy. So that is my advice to the committee. Thanks, Chair. I should also add that I have my colleague, Mr. Zweni, present in this meeting. I don't know whether there's something that he needs to add, but so far I can stop there, Chair. Thanks.
So thank you very much, Dr. Tembe. In short, you are saying it's up to the committee on what it is the responsibility of the committee that we ensure that these 2 vacancies are filled as soon as possible before the end of the term for the other 4 commissioners. So for the fact that the acting speaker have sent this letter to us, it's the decision that have been taken by the political committee or the presiding officers that the committee must take full responsibility in filling these vacancies. So let me hear honorable members, because if it's the committee, we'll have then to establish a subcommittee. The same way we have established the same committee when we're dealing with the filling in of the vacancies of the NYDA, but now, fortunately, it does not include NCOP. It is our committee that has to establish a subcommittee. It will be the formula. We'll use the same formula that we have used when we're busy with the NYDA, and it needs to be structured correct on the rules of Parliament, Dr. Tembe, so that as we establish the subcommittee, you'll have to read to us what are the rules of Parliament saying, and then we'll move on so that we move as fast as we can to fill in the two vacancies. And maybe, I'm not sure, Dr. Tembe, if we'll have to go and get permission to the House, or we are going to take our own resolution that we are going to fill six positions, but our report we'll mention that the two vacancies are with immediate effect, and the four will be later filled when the term of office of the four commissioners expires. And I think it will be the responsibility of the Portfolio Committee also to write to the speaker so that the speaker will have then to remind the president to appoint the last four to the vacancies. But I think what we have just explained now is that it's us honourable members who will have to do all the work. And then other things that we know on how are the commissioners performing in terms of what they are appointed to do, it can be discussed later on by the committee, but also by the subcommittee, and come back to the portfolio committee for adoption of that report, and go and present the report to the House. Can I get hands, honourable members? But I think honourable Mpiti and honourable Masondo were trying to assist the committee that we need to fill all six positions. And we were just getting it clarification from you, Dr. Tembe, on the process, on after taking a resolution today, that you are going to fill this, we are going to establish establishing a subcommittee. We'll have to write to the speaker, or we'll have to do what?
I'm just still referring to the, I'm just checking on the rules, Chair. Just indulge me on that one. I'll come back to it. I'm not sure. Maybe my colleague can add, Mr. Zoe.
Mr. Zoe can assist.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon now to members and colleagues. My take is that the issues before the portfolio committee is a decision of the committee to establish a subcommittee of its own, because when the matter gets to the House, the committee, not the subcommittee, meaning that not the working arm, you know, will have to report. So it's a decision of this, the committee, and the report is expected from the committee, not from the subcommittee, meaning that literally that means that subcommittee reports to the main committee chaired by you, chair. It's just facilitating the way of doing work in terms of maybe saying, let's do it faster, you know, establish this subcommittee. You can inform the committee in that regard. I mean, sorry, the with us, the speaker in that regard, but it doesn't have to be a resolution, because in terms of the laws, it's only you, which is the committee itself. As to how you conduct or mechanism you establish to do your work, ensure that you perform and meet the requirements, is entirely upon you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So thank you very much, Mr. Zeni. Honorable members, can I get the mover for us to establish the subcommittee in terms of the rules? Dr. Temba will read the rule, but Nelisa, you can also assist us check on the rules of parliament, that law one that we use to establish a subcommittee.
Thank you, Chair. I'm looking at the rules. The subcommittee is established in terms of NA Rule 172, subsection 1 and 2, Chair. I'm not sure if you want me to go through all of them.
It says what? You need to read it.
Okay.
Just read that part that you want.
Okay. In terms of NA Rule 172.1, It indicates that a subcommittee established by or in terms of these rules, A, is accountable to its parent committee, B, must carry out its tasks and responsibilities within a policy framework determined by its parent committee and in accordance with these rules and any directives, guidelines, or regulations issued by the parent committee. May consult any assembly or council committee or subcommittee or any joint committee or subcommittee, that's C. D, may determine its own working arrangements subject to these rules, any directives of the parent committee or resolution of the assembly. E, may only make recommendation to its parent committee. F, must report to its parent committee regularly or when requested by the parent committee. Subsection number 2, the parent committee of a subcommittee, A, must appoint members of the subcommittee from among its members. B, may, if appropriate, determine a period within which the subcommittee must complete its task. C, must determine the extent, nature, and form of the subcommittee's report to the committee and time limits for the submission of a report. D, may delegate any of its powers to the subcommittee necessary for the subcommittee to perform its task, and E, the last one, may instruct the subcommittee to perform any of its functions. Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nelson. Honorable Stay?
Just.
Okay, Dr. Temba.
Just to add on that, Chair, a little bit, indulge me. As I just looked at the Constitution, I think in terms of Section 57.1, which says the National Assembly may determine and control its internal arrangement, proceeding and procedures, and make rules and orders concerning its business with due regard to representative and participatory democracy, accountability, transparency, and public involvement. So this is an internal arrangement. So there's nothing, this read, the rules read with the Constitution, I think it empowers the committee to nominate its subcommittee members and to make progress along that way. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Tembe. for that. Honorable Stay?
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to support the proposal, Chair, of establishing a subcommittee as the portfolio committee. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stay. Thank you. Honorable, can I get a mover? A second? Honorable Carol?
Thanks, Chair. Greetings to yourself. I therefore rise to support the mover of establishing a subcommittee. Thanks.
Thank you very much, honorable members. We are agreeing as the portfolio committee that we are going to establish a subcommittee to fill in the vacancies. The six vacancies, we are saying six vacancies, ne? Or we are saying two?
So it's six, Chair.
Or you'll think next week so that you go and consult first and then we come back next week. Is it okay with you?
No, it's six, Chair. Let it be done.
Honorable members?
It will be the staggered appointment. The pending
Sorry?
One. The appointment will be staggered for the four. So,
Amen.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, we'll do the six. He advertised Oshonjalo, but the other ones will be filled later. In fact, we did it. Amen. You were part of the ad hoc committee that I was chairing, where the dates for expiry were differing for the commissioners. So and in fact, why he called me was lentole. Yeah, amen. Nelisa, you were part, and Kashifa, you were part. You were once part of an ad hoc committee that I was chairing in the previous term.
Yes, Chair. I think there was you chaired two subcommittees, so we had two rounds of appointments.
You remember the term of. The lapsing of their term was different months, but when we advertised them all, and then they were going in as and when the term of office is expiring for each commissioner.
Yes, that is what you are speaking about.
Yeah, you were there. Okay, and it's us who made it manageable, like now, I'm a term of office, so I'm like before. It's us who made that. So I think we're agreeing. Thank you very much, Honorable Stay, for moving for. If the establishment of a subcommittee, and so that we fill in the six positions of the commissioners. For now, the first two ones are the one that will be filled with immediate effect, which will be part-time commissioners. The two vacancies will be part-time commissioners, and the other four vacancies will be two full-time commissioners and two part-time commissioners. So I think the advert should be read as I'm presenting it because for now we're going to fill the two part-time vacancies for the commissioners. So I will then that is the decision of the committee.
Yes, I forgot. I missed the number of I missed the number. How many members in the subcommittee? I didn't hear it when they read the act.
How many were we?
The maybe
I can't remember here off the cuff. One will need to go back and check.
No, Chair, I just wanted to say that on the NYDA subcommittee, we had, you know, for the DA side, we had one member from the NA and one member from the NCOP. And if I remember quite correctly, the EFF as well.
Oh, Ngoba besihlanganisa ne NCOP, ne? So, but now we are going to be, it will be at it's for ENA. So that means we are going to have four ANC, two DA, one EFF, and one IFP. Yeah, so Mangak. Or is there five ANC? Formula.
Okay. I cannot work the formula, but the act just say proportionally represented in the NA.
Yeah. So, Dr. Zweli. Mr. Zweli.
Hi, Chair. I think it's proportional representativeness, all the same. It cuts across. If the committee feels that...
Yeah, I think it's going to be...
Remember, this is entirely the decision of
the whole committee. The whole committee, the entire committee. Yeah, because it's not inclusive with NCOP. That means it's the whole committee. Honorable members. From the look of things. But maybe Dr. Tembe, if you can check with public administration, because I think they on the same thing when they were filling the vacancies. Dr. Tembe?
Yes, Chair, I recall. I'll just ask from the secretariat, how did they work out the composition?
Yeah, I can do it next Tuesday. So no that you come up with the whole information, and then Neliswa and you need to, and Kashifa, you need to come up with the a well written document on regarding the rules of parliament and so forth. Formulation of a subcommittee layer or a committee layer, so that we deal with this thing once and for all. So we'll be dealing with it next week. So and Kunjoya, what is the other party? And I attend the meeting. Yeah, but we'll have to have that. Thank you very much, Dr. Tembe. Let's close it that way. And next week we'll be finalizing the establishment of the committee or the subcommittee that will be dealing with the filling in of vacancies of CGE. There's enough time to consult. We'll finalize it next week. What is the next item, Nelisa?
It's 3 sets of minutes, Chair. I'll share the first set right now. The minutes of the 6th of May.
Yes. Put them on the screen so that it's one set on it.
It's 3 sets, Chair. It's 6th of May, 10th and 11th May. They're all dealing with the APPs. This one was for the CGE.
Why now? Mara, last week was adopted one. Why won't I adopt two?
That's not a good editor, Chair. We have not finalized.
Oh.
Finished it. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I take it that honourable members have read the minutes. Any correction? Honourable members, any correction? Any omission? Are the minutes a true reflection of the meeting? Are the minutes of the 6th May 2022 a true reflection? Honourable members, can I get hands?
Yes, Chair. It's Honourable Masondo. Is a true reflection of what? Yes, I propose that we adopt the minutes of the 6th.
Honourable Masondo is looking for the adoption of the minutes as the true reflection. Can I get a seconder? Honourable Mastiko.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I second the mover for the adoption of the minutes.
Mastiko, you are seconding?
Yes, Chair, I second.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. The minutes of the 6th May 2022 have been adopted. Can I get the next set of minutes? Awuye phezulu angibona uhlongo la kule register awuye phansi ngoba phezulu ngoba oh okay let's get any correction. Can I get a mover for the adoption of this minute?
Chair, Carol Piri.
Honorable Carol.
Chair, I would like to move for the adoption of the minute before us as presented.
Thank you very much. Honorable Carol Piri has moved for the adoption of this minute as a truth reflection. The minutes of the 11th May 2022. Can I get a seconder?
I second, Chair, Honorable Masondo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. The next set of the minutes of the 11th May 2022 have been adopted. Can I get the next set of minutes? Any correction? My parents got cool off and one of my come up a little. I should go see what I've seen and I'm sorry. Why are you talking about being a
and I wouldn't apologize. Not
the same. Yes. Okay. Can I get a mover for the adoption of these minutes if there are no corrections and amendments?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired in the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Where the minutes of the 11th May 2022 have been duly adopted. So all the minutes have been adopted. The three sets of minutes have been adopted.
Chair, the mover is not
seconded. That means we'll be left with amendments on it.
The mover has not been seconded.
Yeah?
Chair, we still need the second.
I support the adoption, Chair. There was no second.
Oh! Masiko was moving for the adoption.
Yes, Chair. Then I support.
Masondo, you are seconding.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. The minutes of the 11th May 2022 have been duly adopted. They were moved by Honorable Masiko and seconded by Honorable Masondo. Thank you very much. Unamanya ma minutes?
No, Chair. What that?
Nelly. Unamanya ma minutes?
No, Chair. We finished, yes, Chair.
Oh, okay. Okay. Next week we'll have this item here, SDGE, of fulfilling in of the vacancies, with all the information on the establishment of it, of the subcommittee or the committee to deal with it next week, Tuesday. And also our agenda for next week was what?
I have invited the department chair on their fourth quarterly report together with the internal audit and risk committee. because I have not presented it to the committee. Fourth quarter report for 2021-2022,
Chair. All right. Okay, now it's right. Thank you very much, honorable members. We have come to the end of our meeting. Angit?
Yes, Chair.
Nelis?
Yes, Chair. It's the end of the meeting, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members, for all the work that we have done and your inputs and your participation. Thank you very much. We have come to the end of our meeting. We'll see you on Thursday when we are debating our budget vote number 20. I wish you good luck, and honorable members. And thank you, Dr. Tembe and Mr. Zweni, for coming to our portfolio committee in advising us on the way forward regarding the letter that we have received from the Speaker's office in filling in the vacancies for CGE. We have come to the end of this meeting, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairman.